You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Why?
Random characters are so crazy on this show.
I know. Mr. Whatever. Yeah. Why is it so greasy?
Christianity again? After Cowboys? You went all the way back around? Oh my God. Why can't I die?
This music. Welcome back to New Rock Stars. Rick and Morty Season 5, Episode 2 broke our brains yet again by revealing there isn't just an infinite number of Ricks and Smith families across the multiverse, but within each of those universes, an infinite number of decoy families, all trying to kill each other. Seriously, what the fuck? This is Rick Explained, our Rick and Morty after show, where we overthink Rick and Morty to give you the hot takes so that you can post them and rise to the top of our Rick and Morty, baby! My Easter egg breakdown of all the details you missed is coming tomorrow, so don't comment on this video saying that I missed something. Do that on tomorrow's video, dum-dum. But here I am with Rick and Morty Superfan and a copy of a copy who only ripens with duplication, Tommy Bechtold.
Hey, Eric, I'm just here on a family vacation in beautiful Pleasanton, California. Oh God, the squids are here.
I knew it. You're with a decoy. Ah, well, now we're going to have to host a decoy Tommy. That's fine. He's... not as good, but we'll take them. So this is a wild episode. I did have to watch it a couple times to fully process what happened. So Tommy, remind us all what happened.
Oh my God. Well, we got started off with a bang. The Smith family is suddenly assassinated by advanced alien squids, but it's revealed it's just a decoy family Rick created. Beth criticizes Rick for continuing to clone family members after doing so to her last season. But Rick doesn't learn lessons. We know that.
Not at all.
He's not going to change. More and more decoy families are killed in hilarious fashion until Rick realizes his decoys have been making their own decoys, leading to what he calls an Asimov cascade, a chain reaction where the infinite decoy families try to kill each other.
Yeah, of course, as is natural.
Of course, as you do. The squids are then revealed to also be other decoy families in disguise. What is going on? Talk about WTF. I was like, all right, my brain is broken. The decoy families heighten into monstrous scarecrow families who harvest skin. A wooden puppet family.
With the voice boxes in there. Like, it was just getting copy of a copy of a copy until it's just down to, like, nothing.
Oh, my God. So one Rick lights a beacon to invite all decoy families into an all-out melee, as it should be. Rick apologizes to Beth, and this family seems to be the final family standing until they're killed by Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted. Somebody hunt me! I can't wait till we can go to Comic-Cons again to buy a Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted with a cute little target on his chest and what appears to be Vaseline all over his body.
Yeah, I know. It's just greased up.
He's like, it's just easier to be slippery.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, our Smith family has been in space this whole time with the returning Space Beth answering our questions from last week. And in the post-credit scene, Wooden Jerry is unable to die and realizes history loops around to cowboys and Christianity. All right, Aaron. But we have to know, how many decoy families does Rick have?
Yeah, I actually counted. The number is interesting. Before we get to that, if you like our Rick and Morty coverage and all the other content we make here at New Rock Stars, one of the best ways you can support us is to check out our merch at newrockstarsmerch.com. Mm. We have this line of exclusive Loki-inspired merch based on the hit Disney Plus show. Obviously, you know what it is, I assume. It includes an augmented reality shirt as well. That sounds like something Rick Sanchez might have grafted under his skin, but you know, it's a real thing that you can wear and impress your friends with. Yeah. So support this channel, get yourself some cool swag, and You won't find it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Just go to newrockstarsmerch.com. But yeah, let's talk about this question, Tommy. How many decoy families are in existence that we see from this episode? Yeah. Well, the implication would be infinite. You know, there's enough to suggest that there are infinite numbers, right? But if you count, this episode does present a finite number, and that number is interesting because I counted exactly 89. Mm. Why is that interesting? Well, halfway through the episode, after gunning down what he thinks is a squid ship, Rick says,
"All right, hey, one down. Probably, what, 40 more to go? 45?
And he doesn't realize that that ship is another decoy family in disguise, so if you consider that there are as many undisguised decoy families as squid-disguised ones, the actual number would probably be around double that, around 90. Mm. So 89 is one short of 90, and there might be a 90th. Yes. 90th Rick. I'll explain my theory for what that could be in a moment. Also, when Rick explains the Asimov Cascade Principle, and just so we're clear, he's referencing Isaac Asimov. He's an iRobot author. He's like a sci-fi thinker. He kind of coined the laws of robotics and explored AI sentience as a theme, and he concluded that sentient AI will probably inevitably turn on its creator, as we see in this episode. But if you look closely at that whiteboard, there's one equation that doesn't make sense. It says 008 equals 889. Mm. That's not math. That's not how it works.
No.
But I think what this could mean is the puppet disguised family at the end of the episode, the one that we have this cathartic moment between Beth and Rick at, we think that is the 89th family that, as I was doing my counting, but it's actually the same family as the family we saw in the cold open, the one that was hunting Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted, and that's how he recognizes Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted at the end. So that, even though it's the second one we see in the episode, that might be like the eighth decoy family. So 8 equals 89, even though it's 889, like there's over 800 of these things, right? It's just saying that, like, I think it's setting up that the family that we saw at the beginning is going to come back. We think it's like a higher number, but it's actually the one that's coming back.
Right.
But I'm going to speed through how I got to the number I got to. We got the cold open family. That's the one that plans to kill God. Ironically, Rick number two later claims to be a god and is killed by the end of this episode. So in a way, they do kind of kill God in a roundabout way. Family two is the family that plays Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted. Fourth is the one vacation in Italy. The fifth is when Morty and Rick are watching Wen Wolf on Interdimensional Cable. I love that.
Kind of rooted for me that they would. What did they say about the vampire? They're like, I would have rather seen Wen Wolf go back to the 1920s and invest in stocks and then eat people, of course.
And then eat people, yeah. Which I feel like there's got to be a meta reflection of their own insecurities as writers. Like, stick to your core concept. The core concept is multiverse Ricks, not like decoy family Ricks, which kind of is kind of the same thing, but done in a different way. So sixth family is the Rick who, we stay with this group for a while. That's the Rick who farts on Morty with the barcode trick. Yeah. And then that's the Rick that first realizes decoys are making their own decoys. Mm-hmm. This is where things get a little confusing if you're trying to follow it. The seventh family is that decoy family that Rick Six finds, and they have the passcode of 80085, which is boobs in calculator leet. And then the eighth family is the second decoy family that Family Six finds. They have the passcode that our Rick doesn't know, and it's 8 equals 8 equals side D, which is just the dick, the emoji dick. And then the ninth family is the family that created that family, the eighth family. And then the 10th family is the one who lava melts them all, and then they discuss the Asimov Cascade, and they first make the stitch together the crappy squid costumes. They find family 11, which is a better dressed squid disguised family. Now, up until now, I have not been counting the other squid assassins just because we see a ton of squid assassin families later who I do count, and I think it's safe to assume that one of those assassins was the one that we later see, so I don't want to double up. Family 12 was randomly the Rick who shocks a creature and poops candy. That's such a weird moment, but I loved it.
He's so proud of himself, too.
Yeah, and the creature's enjoying it. It's like, hee hee hee. Loves it. We see two families, 13, 14. That's where there's a family in living room, and then there's another drive-by that happens. Family 15, Rick performs brain surgery on himself. That could have been one of the other ones we see, but I'm assuming anytime we see a new one in a montage, a new family, it's not a squid assassin. I'm just going to count that as a new family.
Right.
We see three Ricks in a hallway, 16, 17, 18. 19 is one where Summer like cuts herself. herself to think she's human, but just reveals she's a decoy. She cries. 2021, we see the shot of two squid Ricks and ships. One shoots himself. And then we pivot to Family 22. They try to live off-grid in a spooky haunted forest. And then 23 is the murderous scarecrow family, who's kind of like Buffalo Bill, Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of situation. And then if you look closely around that murder castle, you see four other past Ricks that Rick 23 had killed that pinned up next to Rick 22. And then in addition to that, 10 other Rick skins are visible hanging overhead. And I just count by the Ricks. There are other members of the family that are piled up. But if you know that there's a Rick, that was a whole other family. So that's we're up to 37 now. 38 is the wooden family who saves them and then brings them to this refuge, the Cause.
Yes.
And if you count by the Summers, Summer is the highest frequency member of the family. There are 14 other Summers in there. Mm. 15 if you include the one who just came there. I'm also not counting the wooden one. So that brings us up to 53. And then some squid family must have bombed this refuge, 54. Then the Mexican beach family, that's 55. The family that bombs them, and then we follow them for a while, that's 56. That's the one who lights the beacon. Mm-hmm. And then we see a bunch of families soar into this. First, there's like some who look up and see the beacon. One is like it looks like a basket version of them that are drawing the old Asimov cascade in the dirt, which I love that because they suck. And then like 17 more ships fly back to join the battle. And then later from space, 12 more come in. So we're at 88 now. Now, when you're watching the melee, I don't think you see more families than 29 families, which is the number of families who fly in various shots. So I'm just going to count it at 29. And then we find the puppet disguised family that we think is the 89th family, but that's actually the second family that we saw back in the cold open.
Right.
So the true 89th family is our main family that has been up in space on adventure with Space Beth this whole time.
Ah,
so 89,
yes.
I guess you could say 88 decoys from the 89th family, but the theme of this episode is that family could be a decoy of one of the others.
Of course.
You never know who's a decoy and who isn't.
Right.
Now, this 90th family, there's this whole great moment where Jerry questions the logic of Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted.
Yeah.
And like, why? Like, I think we should be asking more about that. And then Rick shuts him down when really Jerry was right by the end of the episode. They should have been on the lookout for Mr. Always Want to Be Hunted and why he wants to be hunted. And Jerry mentions that he comes from a cryo tube. And I am wondering if this could be like another decoy that Rick created of a guy with a target on him.
Right.
That was from a cryo tube that was maybe just like too much of a copy or like a failed decoy experiment. And that's
right.
Why he's so greasy is he just has this genetic defect. So Rick just painted a target on him and it's like, go. You was always one who wanted. So I think that's the theme of it. It's like the most failed experiment is the one you have to keep your eye on because he's the most imperfect. And then Rick's perfection and his like over perfectionism is what undid him in this.
Most definitely.
So my theory is that Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted is a Rick decoy.
Just a
real watered down one.
Just a very, very diminished return.
But I love this idea. I mean, it breaks people's brains because we already had this kind of ironic detachment, right? This existential whatever feeling about the show. As soon as, you know, season one, they revealed that there was a multiverse and a citadel of Ricks.
Right.
It began a similar way where Rick was shot in the head at the breakfast table.
Right.
And then it expanded that way. And this is kind of doing the same thing, but staying within a universe, which is just even harder to conceive in a way, because now it's like, how do they not run into each other?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, he mentions that he programs them to live like pleasant lives or something like that, right? Like they all have like, so maybe the whoever the one true Rick is, he knows what their programs are, so he can avoid. Maybe he's, you know, he's so smart it would stand to reason that he's programmed them to never run into each other. But they must just be all over the country, right? We see in the map, like there's just one in every state. There might be two in every state. I don't know. Just hide them all in Wyoming. There's no one there.
Right. And that's the decoys that he knew about.
Right.
There are others, you know, I think that was kind of the implication of it. There was one in Baja. There was one like off the coast of Florida, like in the water there.
Right.
Like on a yacht or something.
Right. I like that. The yachtsmiths that are just out there cruising in the Caribbean.
But I think the idea is that all these decoys have maybe been wiped out. But like at the end of the day, like, the fact that the Rick we stay with could very well be a decoy, I think it even pushes the show further in this direction of don't get attached to any one Rick, right. even though there is some continuity for sure, episode to episode or across seasons, that right. the Morty and Rick we've been following is the C-137 Morty and Rick who arrived after Rick Potion number 9. Mm-hmm. And, you know, presumably in the same way that we could have been following a different universe episode to episode, we could have been following a different decoy episode to episode. Mm-hmm. But realistically, there has been some continuity. Mm-hmm. I think the writers would say it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Right.
But we do have some more questions coming out of this episode. Oh, yes. First, we want to thank some people who helped us make it. Starting with our friends at Helix Sleep. You don't want to sleep on a mattress designed for someone else, even if that person is the darkest timeline version of yourself. They probably like a super firm mattress and always sleep on the side of their body. Without the eye patch. Well, Helix Sleep is a quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. I have a Helix mattress and I love it. The quiz matched me with a medium firm mattress with lumbar support. Sleeps cool. That's right. I'm sleeping like I'm living.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Cool. And sometimes sitting up in a cold sweat over anxiety.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But not, it's not the mattress's fault. The mattress is working hard to lull this baby back to sleep. So here's what you do. Go to helixsleep.com/rickexplained. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/rickexplained. This show is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all been there at some point. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line or self-help. It's a professional counseling. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available for clients worldwide. Log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room or look for parking. BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/rickexplained. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken advantage of their mental health with the help of it. Oh, not advantage. To join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for Rickexplained audience. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/rickexplained. All right, Tommy, what is our next question as we look ahead in this episode?
Well, so Eric, we already did discuss this a little bit, but let's really hammer down our thoughts on this. If all the decoys live on the same Earth, how do they not cross paths or realize their homes are in different neighborhoods?
Yeah, so as you said, Tommy, they do mention this episode that, like, each decoy is kind of programmed, is designed to kind of just accept their neighborhood right. as normal, you know? Right. And it's like they're given false memories right. as well, well, so that they never question it.
Yeah, they specifically reference Westworld, which is, if you've watched Westworld, you know that these AI are incredibly realistic, incredibly intelligent, incredibly intuitive, but they're also their built-in blind spots, so they can't see, or they do see doors that aren't really there, or they don't see doors that exist. They see blank walls. So that stands to reason, if Rick was serious about them having kind of like Westworld technology, maybe these things are, or these decoys are built to not really know any better, to question it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think for some viewers that might undercut the sense that any of these decoys could have been the Rick that we're following, right. because if they are stuck in narrative loops, like in Westworld with like false memories, program memories, right. program perception, then like they never truly had free will.
Right.
They were only really going on adventures that wouldn't allow them to interfere. But also, if there's an infinite number of decoys, wouldn't, you know, realistically one bump into one that was designed by a different Rick?
Right.
But I think the answer to this one, Tommy, is that this all happened really fast.
Right.
Like, I'm wondering if our main Rick that we've been following, C-137 Rick, who's been up in space, he might have designed his first decoy relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then because Rick is just so brilliant,
right.
it all snowballed within a span of like 12 hours.
Yep.
Just because Ricks are just that way by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And he had not yet, like, he didn't think it would happen this fast,
for
realistically.
Sure.
You know, so I think the idea is maybe we haven't had decoys since the beginning of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably like a recent thing Rick mm-hmm. tried out. And then the joke of it is, whoa, that escalated quickly.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And then what we're seeing now is that chaos that you're talking about should have been happening before. It's just happening now.
Right.
Because it was just a recent thing.
It's just all opened up the proverbial can of worms, as they say.
Now, since this episode ends in such a, I don't know, a theological place of like, hey, Christianity came back, did Rick, you think, Tommy, in a roundabout way, end up killing God this episode, and that's why they had Christianity come back, just to show that Christianity cannot be killed at the end of the day?
It's like Michael Myers. But I, I think, well, one, they had the literal Rick saying he was a god that ends up getting killed, right? So we talked about
exactly.
that. But then we also have, like, Rick kind of, the concept of creating life, and I think, what did they say? You just love creating, or you get hard creating sentient life, and then he says, no, I get hard saving my family.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, that's not any better.
But I think, like, yeah, they kind of, they've killed God over and over and over and over again in this episode, because it was like, you know, everyone, or at least people they thought were gods, because whoever thought they were the main Rick creating the decoys that kept getting killed, in their mind, that was a god getting killed, you know, in my interpretation. So,
yeah, like, killing your creator is, you know, it's like the Promethean argument of defying your god. Yeah.
Right. So I guess the answer, as always with Rick and Morty, is kind of.
Yeah. And I think that's, you kind of know that's, it's going to be going in this direction, because, like, even though the show has kind of an atheistic undertone, as all science fiction kind of does, not all, but a lot of it, if it's like chaos theory, you know, but the show does have like a reverence to higher powers. I think they don't want to be too, disrespectful or too irreverent.
Well, I think
and like when he opens the episode saying we're going to kill God, it's kind of like, oh, okay, Rick's going to suffer this episode.
Right. Rick's going to, something bad's going to happen. I think they do a great job of taking the smugness that often, and I don't mean all atheists, obviously, I know plenty of atheists in my life who are wonderful people, but often the attachment of atheism in fictional media comes across as so smug and all-knowing and definitive. They do a great job of being like, nobody really knows anything. Like, the more hubris you kind of have of intelligence on any one topic, the more likely you are to have some sort of bad downfall in the Rick and Morty world.
Agreed, yeah. And I think that goes for anything in life. Yeah. Like, go through this weird, I don't know if it's a bell-shaped curve. I think it is bell-shaped. You gain knowledge, you gain knowledge, you gain knowledge. And the more knowledge you gain, the more you realize you don't know.
Right.
And you're more okay with just
questioning.
And
you'll never know. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I felt like, you know, going through college and high school, I'm just like, oh, we're all just going to, like, pretend that it's all bullshit.
Right.
Because I mean, like, science tells us, and then as you get older and life experience hits you, it's like, oh no, I get why most older folks in my life go to church.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, because there's a need for that.
Let's just get down to brass tacks. They serve donuts regularly.
Hell yeah, baby.
So come on.
That's the reason you go, is for the donuts.
Sit through an hour speech and get some donuts. What's the worst thing that could happen?
That's right. Hell yeah, baby. So I have a question for you, Tommy.
Yes.
So we realized this episode that these squid assassins are really just like costumes worn by other decoy Ricks.
Yes.
At some point, some decoy Rick or some creator Rick thought, yeah, squids, let's do that. Why do you think squids were chosen by Rick? Like, if we can get inside his head.
I have two thoughts. One, there's such a weird, in sci-fi, especially like futuristic sci-fi, obsession with squid-shaped aliens. Like, who's the guy that did like the, you know, all the art for Aliens? Like, famously, I forget.
Oh, Geiger,
yes.
Right? H.R. Geiger.
Yeah. Like, there's that, his obsession with squids. But also, for me, it was just a callback to the first episode when they killed Mr. Nimbus's signature contract witness that was the squid, right?
Oh.
Was that a squid or an octopus? I don't remember. But I think it was a squid because it had squid ink, and he signed the contract with the squid ink, and then that squid ends up getting shot in the head. And I was like, I kept expecting that to be the payoff before the reveal that the squids were just decoys disguised as squids. I was like, this is going to be some tie-in to Mr. Nimbus getting revenge for murdering his signature witness, who was also his friend. So I don't know if I think ultimately probably the first thing I said is closer to it. Like, you know, there's just a sci-fi and squid-shaped things have always gone hand in hand as, like, you know, it's a scary, put on right. a grand scale, a squid looks scary and intimidating. But I also wonder if it was just a nod to the first episode.
No, I think I like that idea a lot, Tommy, because I think at least you could imagine some Rick or some Rick decoy thinking like, I will be able to fool the other ones by thinking there's this revenge plot for Mr. Nimbus's ink bearer or whatever.
Yeah.
So like their evolved like parent species are coming to get revenge.
Right.
Like just Rick trying to play 4D chess and outsmart himself is one of the funniest things to be like. It always devolves into something stupid,
absolutely.
Which is squids with like vagina shaped heads.
Right.
Let's be honest. Right. They all have like phallic or
everything on that show either looks like a butthole. A vagina or a penis. There's just
At the end of the day, that's where it all heightens to, which
I think
is so funny.
Yeah.
And I also think there's some irony that like these squids have like their what is it, hexapods, six legs?
Because
squids don't have eight, octopi have eight. But this idea of like one becomes many, of like one Rick has like at least six decoys that he made. I like the drawing of the Asimov cascade did kind of have like a pyramid scheme looking kind of a shape to it.
Definitely.
But I just love this idea that he settled on squids.
I know.
And that you see the stages of crappiness as they got better at making squid costumes, which is just really funny.
Yeah, the first ones were just like mascot costumes at a shitty theme park.
All right, we have one more sponsor we want to thank. Our friends at Magic Spoon. Thanks to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. So most folks would like to eat better, right? But healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors that you love, but without all the bad stuff. There's 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving, and it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. So get yourself a variety pack of the 4 flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. My personal preference is for fruity, but I've heard some tell of folks mixing cocoa and peanut butter together for a DIY peanut butter cup flavor. So go to magicspoon.com/rigsplained to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code rigsplained at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/rigsplained and use the code rigsplained to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. So let's talk about this post-credit scene, one of the best post-credit scenes.
Yes.
I think I love it when we just follow Jerry down a
rabbit hole. It's always comedy gold, right? It's like
it's always great.
If we're following Jerry, something really Chris Parnell's voice work, which is like it's just his voice, but sad, just defeated.
Right.
It's just Chris Parnell doing his voice, but as if all of the happiness has exited his life and he's trying his best to still appear happy. Like even when Jerry's optimistic, there's still a twinge of sadness to it.
Exactly.
It's just
so
awesome.
He plays it so well.
Yeah.
And I wonder if like the fact that he is immortal through the end of all time, this applies to the main continuity of the series.
Right.
So does this mean every future episode has wooden Jerry somewhere in the background screaming as a woodpecker is gnawing away at him?
I want more. Yes. I want wooden Jerry to come back. I'm sure he will.
Right. We got to check in with him. Even if he's just like some wooden form, like a whittling workshop at Disneyland or something. I want wooden Jerry to be in the background.
Yes, me too.
I love this idea. And let's end on this idea of Space Beth. I think ultimately this episode was kind of the writer's attempt to explore the implications of Rick cloning family members. And this whole episode is kind of a debate of like, it's not a clone, it's a decoy, but essentially, he is like cloning family members and himself for and just seeing where this goes.
Right.
And then at the end of the episode, Space Beth says, you know, don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Let's not get too worked up over me coming back.
Right.
So are we think we're done? I think this is just them saying like, this is why we don't want to explore clone Beth too much because we're just going to run out the logical implications of clones
and
fighting each other here.
And it gets repetitive because you're like, you know, I mean, it's fun and the writers are so brilliant. They're always going to make it funny. But at a certain point you're like, all right, so I get it. At any point, any person having a conversation could get shot in the head, be revealed to be a clone. And then a new thing starts. Not dissimilarly to the stress. It's like the non-stressful version of the way The Boys was last season, where you're like, anyone in any conversation's head could explode at any time. And so I'm just kind of always on edge watching these people. But it's like, it kind of loses its importance if it just continues to happen. So, like, I think, yeah, moving away, there's so much other fun stuff they can explore. It's time to probably move away from that for a bit, at least.
Yeah, and I think the writers were aware of this limit that they had by exploring this concept. For sure. I will say, as watching it, I love the speed of it. Every time I watch the show, I'm in awe of how much story they pack into it. But I think you do kind of start to divest in it emotionally after too long.
Right.
And there was at some point in this episode where I'm just like, I'm still loving what I'm seeing. It's still funny as hell.
Right.
But like, I just did lose track of like whose story I was following. And like, they bring it back when Rick apologized to Beth. But then I just feel like, oh, the writers are just trying to be too responsive to finding a way out of their own corner with Space Beth when I didn't really need that. To me, people are comparing this to other, like, you know, the Citadel of Ricks episode, the first Citadel of Ricks in season one, and Total Recall. I would probably rank Total Recall higher just because we know all those memories are false, and then it's kind of neatly tied up by the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. This kind of just leaves it open. It's not as, like, logically airtight as Total Recall was, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's okay. Yeah. We have a great time.
Still amazing.
Still hilarious. Still wouldn't Jerry being the cross that future Christ gets nailed to, which is freaking wild. We'll leave it there. That's it for this episode of Rick Explained. My Easter egg breakdown of all the little details you missed in the episode, again, is coming tomorrow. Tommy and I will be back next week to react to episode 3. So be sure to follow Tommy at Tommy Bechtold. Follow me at EA Voss. Follow New Rockstars. Subscribe to Rick Explained wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for watching. We will close with our favorite moment of the episode.
Christianity hasn't been invented yet. Crosses are just baby teas to me now. I got out. Please, don't invite me back in.